have a plan and realize that I think it was one of the great players, Hagen, said that in any round, you know, you're going to have five good breaks, and you're probably going to have five bad breaks. And I think when he would play, if he came to a bad break, he'd say, okay, that's one.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll balance itself out. And in life, it's the same thing. You can have a down day, and you can say, okay, this is just one of them, you know. But you're going to have good ones, too.
Well, it's been said that the Satan's definition of self-worth is that your self-worth is a function of your performance plus the opinion of others. And if he can hook you on that, then you're out there kind of pleasing. Now, how did your faith help you in the game of golf where, you know, everybody's watching and you're keeping score? And how do you keep your priorities in terms of who you are and what's important in life in the midst of a game that pushes you mm-hmm. to performance plus the opinion mm-hmm. of others?
It's really difficult. I would say golf is probably the most difficult game to keep the right perspective, because I don't think there's any other sport, Ken, where, you know, your whole significance can be based upon just how much money you've made. You know, that's the whole grade in terms of the tour. It's not, you know, how you've performed necessarily your finishes, but at the end of the year, you know, they rank you and people will come up and say, you know, where are you on the money list? Well, you know, there is another sport like that. You take basketball or baseball. They make these big million-dollar contracts, and everything's taken care of. But in golf, you know, we're independent contractors, and it's real easy to get wrapped up in where you are on the money list, and then you go out, and your performance can really get to you. So I think I always try to look at the whole year as one big tournament. And to try to prepare and play and realize that I'm going to have some good tournaments and some bad tournaments, but to be, you know, consistent with my approach to every round and with my practicing, and to have that attitude. And of course, you mentioned about faith. That was, I think, the greatest strength to me out there. You know, on the tour, I used to have a little black yardage book, and I would keep some verses in there and things that I'd been working on in my own spiritual life. And periodically, you know, go through those. I'd also keep track of some of the best holes that I played with certain shots. And I learned that from Gary Player when I caddied on the tour for him back in college. He kept a record of all of his greatest shots. And when I would caddy for him, he'd come to a hole. And I remember one time at New Orleans, I was trying to, you know, give him a little advice on playing a certain shot. And he says, no, wait a minute. I had this shot 6 years ago on such and such a course, you know, and here's how I hit it. And he described the shot. And so what I saw was then when he stepped into the shot, he had this great image of the shot that he pulled off in the past. And he just pulled it right off, just stoned it right to the pin.
Uh-huh.
And that's just a little secret, I think, if more people would do that, even on their home course, if they would keep a log of their greatest shots on that course. And then instead of getting up, you know, after a bad hole or a bad shot, going back into that little record and bringing up the positive, it really helps.
And then having a scripture you can refer to when you don't do it well.
Absolutely.
What's the best business decision you've ever made?
Oh boy, probably not to get in business. No, I, you know, the thing I've tried to do is I've tried to really take time to really evaluate my strengths and weaknesses and make lists, and I call them filters. So I'll go through this periodically and through a process of elimination and addition. You know, I know where my strengths are and my weaknesses, and in business, you know, the best thing for me to do is to stay out of the management part of it and to really be used to be more of a resource person. And
yeah.
And I've had some wonderful successes with some of my videotapes and some of my books, and I think the most important business decision for me is to really work with people. Golf is really a game of misses when you think about it. You know, Hogan said that if he had three perfect shots a round, that was a great round. And you can imagine, I mean, you've played with guys. These guys, they think they need to hit this perfect shot, or every hole. And so people are a lot harder on themselves than they need to be, you know. And people in life are a lot harder on themselves than God really is on them. I think that's the key, is to
be able to recover, you know.
I know Larry Moody that runs the Bible study in the PGA Tour, and he almost every time when he ends with the players, he says to them, I just want to remind you that you can't win enough tournaments, win enough money, you know, be successful enough to get any more love, because you got all the love there is. You know, God loves you unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And I think that belief has a tremendous impact on people not getting uptight mm-hmm. about any one particular shot or one particular tournament, because the big picture is that no matter what you are, is that you're loved. And I loved in the book The Final Rounds, where mm-hmm. the reporter is taking his father, who's dying of cancer, to Scotland to play, and they were always very competitive, and he says, Dad, what do you want to play over here? He said, let's play NATO golf, which is not attached to outcome, which is if you know you're already loved, then the outcome's not as important. As a result, you can relax, and the outcome might even be better. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely. I remember one year, back when I was playing, you had to make the top 60 players, money winners, to be exempt the next year. And I would always grind down the last few tournaments, and I'd have to come up with some good finishes. And at Pensacola, I had to shoot in the 60s, to really make it. And I was 2 over par after 8 holes. I had a great caddy, Buzz. And, I mean, he was such an encourager. And I got on the ninth tee, and I just started saying, Buzz, I just don't think I'm going to make it, you know. And he says, look, let's look at the big picture. He says, you know, what's the difference between a birdie and a bogey 100 years from now anyway? I said, yeah, you know, there really isn't. I said, I can only give 100% on any shot at any time. I said, let's just do that, Buzz, you know. So I drove it off the tee. I'm right in the middle of the fairway. And I said out loud, I said, what's the difference between a birdie and a bogey 100 years from now anyway? Flew it right in the hole. And it was unbelievable, you know. And I said that every shot on that back nine. I remember Buzz was going, you know, and we were just having such a great time. And I was playing with Larry Rinker and Gary Hallberg, and they were pulling for me, you know. And it was just so neat to be able to see that's really, you know, the big picture. And I think what happens, what you were saying, is that people get out on the golf course and, you know, and it's so competitive, and they get inward, you know, and they get trying so hard, and they don't realize that, hey, this is just a game, and ultimately it's not going to mean anything. And self-talk's very important. I really wrestled with that most of my career. I would really beat myself up. I had a very difficult family situation with my father, who used to really condemn me, and I just became a real human doing, you know, and I wanted to do so well to please him, and I just never could seem to be good enough, you know, and I carried that into a lot of my early career. And I was in Memphis playing one year, and I had a gentleman that used to follow me every year. He had given up a very lucrative career to just work in the city, you know, down in the heart of the city, the inner city people. And he knew that I was a part of the Bible study group, and he was following me this year. And I'd hit the first 10 greens in a row, and I was 3 over par. And just each time, you know, I'd get more just grinding my teeth, and just, you know, I was just, you know, really cursing myself inside. And I missed about a 3-foot putt on 11. Easy birdie putt. And I went off the green, and I just wanted to break my putter. You know, I just was grinding my teeth. And he just motioned to me like this. He says, come here a minute, Wally. I went, oh, boy, you know. And I didn't know what was happening. And he looked me right in the eye. He says, you know, I really love you. I've followed you all these years, you know. And I know you love God. But he says, I know what your problem is, Wally. I said, what's that? And he says, you just won't let God love you, will you? You know, and I know now that was my greatest problem, is I just wouldn't let God love me. You know, I just couldn't deal with that, you know, because I just wanted to try. I wanted to, you know, to be the kind of person that I want, you know, I knew I should be. But when he said that, that started in my heart just a real reparenting of, just like you said earlier, is just realizing that God loves you. And you can't do anything. You can't get anywhere, you can't acquire anything, you can't change that will affect any amount of his love towards you, because at any moment, no matter how bad it gets, you're 100% loved and accepted by God because of Jesus Christ.
And his love doesn't fluctuate based on your performance.
Absolutely.